From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMattei. For the last couple of years, scientists and divers in South Florida have been watching as a new disease has been spreading along Florida reefs. It's a waterborne pathogen that kills stony corals, the big ones that serve as the foundation for reefs. Scientists don't know what caused the outbreak. They do know that the number of different kinds of corals it attacks and the rate they're dying from it is unprecedented. But so is the response. WLRN's Nancy Klinginer talked to Andy Bruckner from the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary about what scientists are doing and what anyone who dives can do to help.
There's a relatively new disease affecting the reef here in Florida. What is that disease?
We're calling this stony coral tissue loss disease. This is something that first started in the Florida Reef Track off of Miami near Virginia Key in 2014, and since that period it has continued to spread through the reef system.
We've been hearing about diseases on the reef, at least here in the Keys, for decades. What makes this one different?
Coral disease was first identified in Florida back in 1972. This particular disease is very unusual because it affects more species of corals than we've ever seen before. It has what's called a prevalence, the percent of the colonies within an area that become infected when the disease first shows up is much higher than you see with other types of diseases. And also a very high proportion of those die from this disease.
Which corals does it affect particularly?
Stony coral tissue loss disease has been observed in 22 different species of corals right now, which is just under about half of the reef-building corals that you find within the Florida Keys. This includes a lot of the big boulder corals, some of what we call the big important frame-building corals, like the mountainous star coral, for instance. It includes species that are listed on the Endangered Species Act, things like the pillar coral. But what it doesn't affect are two very, very critical corals to these reefs, what are known as elkhorn coral and staghorn coral.
The mountainous corals, the framework builders, they're really sort of the foundation of the reef?
Yeah, so that's what's really most concerning about this disease is the fact that it's hitting some of these corals that have built the structure. The reef that you see, that reef was built by the skeletons of these particular corals. Corals, especially the frame-building corals that are building these reefs, can live for hundreds of years. Some of the very large corals that you see that are, say, 6 to 8 feet tall and 5 or 6 feet wider or larger, some of those may be as old as 500, 600 years old. And the mountainous star coral and the lobate star coral are two of the most important frame-building corals that you find here in Florida and throughout the wider Caribbean.
And you're actually going out in the water and treating this disease. How does that work?
When you see this disease, it looks like a line or a band. You can see the dead skeleton, and that's immediately adjacent to live tissue, and the diseased area is that interface. And so we can cover that interface with underwater epoxy or clay, and that material is treated with something. We can use an antiseptic, like what they use in a doctor's office to clean all of your utensils and the tables and everything else. So we can put chlorine powder is one of the things that we're using, where we mix that in with the epoxy and then place that on top of the diseased tissue, and that will eradicate it. And we also have come up with a very, very effective mechanism where we take a broad spectrum antibiotic and we mix that in with either a silicone base or shea butter, something that's basically a lotion that you're using. And then we use a syringe and apply that right on the diseased tissue. There's one other approach that we're doing as well is something that we call trenching, where we have the disease moving across a colony, and a few centimeters ahead of that disease line, we will make a groove, or what's similar to like a fire break in that coral. We'll excavate away a little bit of the tissue so that when the pathogen continues to kill tissue, once it reaches that place where there's no more coral tissue, it will burn out because there's no way that it can get beyond that to the rest of the colony.
Could divers be accidentally helping to spread this disease? And if so, what can they do about that?
So there is a potential for divers to spread the disease, mainly if this is a waterborne pathogen. Just by getting into the water, we know that bacteria and other microorganisms tend to stick to neoprene and silicone materials. And so it can attach to your wetsuit. If you're in an area where there's a disease outbreak, those areas potentially have a much higher amount of this pathogen in the water column, or if you touch some of the corals accidentally, you could then carry that particular pathogen. And when you go diving in another area that's not infected by this particular disease, it could then be released into the water and start affecting those areas. The most important thing is that when you come up from a dive is that you make sure you clean your gear and remove all the debris. If there's any seagrass or algae or anything on it, that you get all that off and you don't dump that in the water in some other location. And then at the end of the day, especially if you're going to a new country or another region on the reef, that you wash your dive gear with a solution that is known to get rid of some of these bacteria.
You're also asking divers to report if they see the disease, right?
The problem that we have is the Florida reef trek is extensive, and scientists can only dive so many locations, and a lot of our monitoring that goes on only occurs once per year, and so we don't have a lot of information at certain times of the year, especially like during the winter, for instance. And if people see the disease and they report it, they help us identify places that we either need to get in the water and do interventions, we need to get more scientific information, or do other steps to better protect and manage that particular reef environment.
There's so much bad news about coral reefs with the bleaching and the effects of climate change. How do we not give up hope for our reef?
I believe that we have a lot of opportunities here to protect reefs and to revive them in places where they've been damaged. We're doing a lot of novel techniques in restoration. One of the biggest concerns affecting coral reefs worldwide is climate change. But what we've learned is that corals are able to adapt to some of these stressors over time, as long as other factors that are contributing to their demise are minimized. And so our philosophy is that if we do whatever we can on a local scale to reduce human impacts, the environment and the water quality will be better, and those corals will be stronger, and they'll be able to better tolerate some of these global stressors.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me today.
You're very welcome.
That was Andy Bruckner from the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary talking with WLRN's Nancy Klingener about a disease that's severely impacting Florida's reefs. To see images of what the disease does to coral or to find out more about how you can help as a diver, please visit WLRN.org. This is WLRN News. I'm Christine DiMattei.